Father, we just thank you again for the time to come together this morning, just the sunshine this morning after just a nice rain that we got yesterday. It's just always good to just have that nice soaking rain that allows the soils just to be recharged, just as we can come in here and recharge ourselves this morning. It's what we're asking for, and you don't let up on us. You don't let us go by without too much, so we just thank you for the opportunity to come here and just be replenished this morning. We just want to just continue to pray for Gene DeNeve with the health issue he's got and just the changes living at home now and just the challenges that family's chasing and just the new normal. We just pray that you can continue to encourage the family. And we want to just, as we got more good news about Joe Kim, we just want to thank you. It's good to see answered prayers to show that you are faithful, Father, and that you do provide answers when people pray and are diligent and faithful to you. So we just thank you for that. We want to, as we continue just to see Jill being healed with her back, we thank you for that answered prayer and for Bob as he's back with us from his surgery. There's just so many people we can bring before you this morning that as prayers of thankfulness. And we all know people on our hearts this morning that are still dealing with problems. And we just want to bring them before you that their lives have been changed. They're in valleys right now, wherever it may be. And I guess all we ask of you is that you can just let them see you in that valley together with them so they don't think that you've abandoned or left them. And we just bring those people before you this morning. We want to pray for our nation as it continues just to be divided and struggling and just chaos, that you may expose the evil in this nation and just bring it to a point where there's people that see you and chase after the things that pleases you and try to do things right for you. And we just ask that you use us to be able to do that. Just use us to be able to convey to people who are lost and hurting or whatever it is, that just enslaved in that darkness that isn't you, just that we can be that light for them. And we want to pray for our little ones downstairs, as there's just many very beautiful, malleable souls down there today that we look at that and say, man, I can't believe that they have to grow up and do a situation like this. But you knew that. You had them born now, not 100 years ago. And you know that they are going to have the tools that they need to be able to combat this world and the evil in it. And we just pray that they can use this time this morning to just continue to build on their foundation so they can step out of here in truth and just be a light for all the kids and everything else that they'll come in contact with over their lives at school. We want to pray for our basic group as we're going to get that started here, that you may bring the children that need to know who you are and need that comfort of knowing who you are. Bring them to the high school. Bring them to the school when we do that, not just for our approval, but just so they know you, so we can shine a little bit of you to them. So we just pray that you start tweaking the souls, laying that burden on the hearts, and just give them the courage to step out of their comfort zone and walk into that library where we are. And then this morning, Father, we just pray that the Holy Spirit, you may run rampant. There's nothing valuable that I have to say. It's all your words. It's all your instructions to us. Allow me just to step aside and just be used by you to convey the things that you teach us, the things that you give us as a guide to be able to live our life and make sense of our life and be somebody that's honorable to you and somebody that can bring glory to you. That's what we're here for, is just to try to figure out how we can do things better for you. So I ask that you can just do that this morning. In your son's name we pray. Amen. Okay, so we're going to continue on, like I said, chapter 6, verses 19 through 24, and there again, we are just building on this. Chapter 5 and 6, what we've covered so far of 6, if it's just the best way to think of things are the human standards versus God's standards. This is all of our contrast. And when the world says this is right, or we think things are right this way, or to do things this way, God tells us this is what his standards are. So if we want to be able to live for God's kingdom, if we want to be able to live for him and do him justice as we live our life and walk through our life, this is what he's telling us. These are my standards. These are my instructions for you. And that's, quite frankly, what are we here for? It's to learn. It's to know things. It's to try to figure out how can we do a better job in our life. Obviously, we all see value in God and eternity because we're sitting here. There's something more that we want to know. There's something more that we want to chase after. There's something more that we feel we want to gain through that relationship with Jesus. And that is exactly what we're doing here. And that's what Jesus is saying. Okay, you guys want to know the answers? I'm going to give you the answers. We talked about that when we were in the first part of chapter 6 when we were talking about whose approval are we seeking. God gives us whatever approval we seek or whatever we seek after, whether it's money, fame, fortune, whatever the desire of our heart is, God's going to give us that. And God says, okay, you want to, your desire of your heart is to know me better. You come here and spend your time to know me better. You stay in your Bible to know me better. I'm going to show you that. I'm going to give you the answer. I'm going to reward you with the information that it takes to do that. So it's just, have that in the back of your mind as we go through this, because that's the whole point of what Jesus is talking about here. So, it's just, we're going to cover money today, which money can a lot of times be very skewed within the church because it all goes back to your motives and your heart. You know, what are the motives of a church? What are the heart of the people in charge of the church? What are they doing for your finances? Why are they begging? Why are they doing fundraising? What are they doing with it? And a lot of times it can be where evil can creep in. I mean, we all know of examples. We all know of churches. We all know of people where money is used wrongly. So God's going to then tell us and say, okay, God, you give us money. We're going to look at that today. God gives us money to do things with it. But what is your standard of me? What is your expectation of me when you provide me with finances? You know, when we're in America, we are the richest people by far in the world. And we all have, God has, to whom much he's given as much as required. We are required, you look at all the people in India, I mean, you just take all the foreign countries, whatever, even in, there's just this country, we are far more blessed financially than many places on this earth. So if we look at that and say, okay, God, thank you for that I'm not living on a trash dump in India, because that's what people do to find their food. You have me here in America where I am free, I can make as much money as I want, there's free enterprise, I can do whatever. But what do you expect me to do with that? If you're going to bless me with that, because it's a blessing, if you're going to bless me with that, what do you expect me to be able to do? What do you want me to do with my finances? What do you want me to do with my money? What do you want me to do to be able to help people with that? So I just don't sit on it and become a Scrooge. What do we got to do? So that's what this is going to cover this morning, is biblically, what do you want us to do with our money, God? What are we going to do? So he's going to, they're just, it's going to compare physical things to spiritual things. So if you just follow along, we'll read 19 through 24. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So then if your eye is clear, and your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. And that ending of it is, so many times we try to say, well, yes, I can. I can beat it, or I have this. He just draws a line in the sand right there, and he says, you ain't going to do it. I know the motives of our heart. I know the things that we chase after. God says, there's the line in the sand right there. You can't do it. We can all try. We've all tried, whether it's wealth or whatever we want to put in that open category to compare to God. That doesn't just mean you can take that and say, it can be anything. I'm going to put any, I think I can put this relationship equal with God, or I think I can put this lifestyle equal with God, or this, whatever I'm trying to do, equal with God. God says we can't have equals with him. Our focus, it needs to be him. It can't be anything else, because whatever we're trying to make equals, it's going to be our focus. So the next section then we're going to get into, which why I felt to cut this short, is it's going to talk of anxiety. And if we don't understand so much of anxiety, why my brain kind of went that way, was so many things of anxiety lies with finances. Because finances is obviously protection. Food, shelter, whatever. All of that stuff, the balloon of everything, results around finances. And anxiety, well, I got to have a nice house to keep my family protected. I got to have a nice car to keep them safe on the road. I got to have this, got to have this, do whatever. So much of our anxieties leads from financial struggles, financial thoughts, money, whatever it may be. That's so much of where our anxiety comes from, because maybe it's just somebody's approval. I don't have enough money compared to this guy, so I'm going to work harder to do this because I'm seeking after his approval. And it's not. So we get anxieties. So if we look at this morning, I think it's going to lay perfectly into what we can talk about with anxiety next week. So treasure. If you look up the definition of treasure in the Webster's 1828 dictionary, it's wealth accumulated. So you want to, when we look at treasures, because you can say, do not store it for yourself, treasures. Okay, what's a treasure? It's something accumulated. Okay, particularly a stock or store of money in reserve. So hold on to the thought of accumulated and something in reserve. Okay, or a great quantity of anything collected. So if we have something accumulated, something that's sitting in reserve, or anything that's collected, it's a treasure. Okay, savings account. We can all look at a savings account. What do we do with it? We're saving for future needs, whether it be an emergency situation I got to have, whether it be a car, whether it be kids' college, whatever it may be, we're saving that for something. Okay, I like to look at it as you can drive around the country and you can see so many grain bins. What are farmers saving that crop for? Why don't they just take it all to town and get rid of it all? What are they saving it for? For a better investment. They can look at that and say, I will store this grain, and I will save it. I'm going to accumulate it. I'm going to reserve it, so that way I can hold on to it for a future use when the commodity price is higher. So a grain bin is just essentially a big savings account that is sitting there, right? And it may be an abundance of something, not even technically cash. There's a lot of people that I know, you get out into some of the middle parts of the United States when you're headed out west, that theirs is not financial, theirs is stuff. How much stuff can I accumulate? That's my savings account. I may not have a dime in my savings account, but I've got stuff. Because then when I need it, I can sell my stuff. I can get rid of stuff. So you're accumulating or collecting things. You're reserving things to be able to get rid of. Okay, so it's anything we hold on to and try to build up our reserve to use it to benefit in the future. That's a treasure. So if we have that understanding of a treasure being anything that we hold on to and try to build up and reserve it to benefit us in the future, that's what Jesus is talking about. What am I going to store up to be able to use me to benefit me in the future? Okay, physically we can have all the answers of what we want to try to hold on to, but spiritually think about it. That's what Jesus is saying. Spiritually, what do I want to collect? What do I want to accumulate? What do I want to reserve for eternity? What are the things that I want to store up for myself for future? We say, well, I've never seen a hearse with a U-Haul. What are you talking about? I'm not talking about I can't take my money with me in eternity. I can't take my things with me into eternity. So what am I storing up? And obviously it takes money to live, to work, to do things, right? And that's biblical. There's a few verses, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, 6. The point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Okay? So if we're sowing, we have to have something to sow. We have to have something to give. Acts 20:35, in all things I have shown you that by working hard in this way we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus. How he self said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Well, if I don't work for anything, how am I going to have anything to give? Jesus tells me it's more blessed to give than to receive. I have to work for something to give, right? Ephesians 4:28, let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share when anyone's in need. I'm just going to sit on my couch and I'm going to collect, 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 collect. No. You go give or go work so you have something to give to somebody when somebody is in need. I think that is something that the United States is going to, that God is going to wake up the United States very hard someday. That there's more money floating around in here that people have that they don't give. Not just speaking to the church, but think of, okay, don't even talk about money. Anything we're reserving, anything we're accumulating, anything that we're piling up for future use, except we don't let it go in future use to help somebody. We go there just so it's safe in our head and we know we have that security stashed up, that if we need to have it, we can readily available get it. 2 Corinthians 9:7. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. There again, how can I have anything to give if I don't have anything to give? God's telling me to give. Obviously, it takes money, it takes things. God gives us that, right? The plans of the diligent, this is Proverbs 21:5. The plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes only to poverty. Okay? Verse 22, we're going to kind of jump ahead, is if you read, the eye is the lamp of the body, so then if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. I think it's funny how Jesus just continues to build on his conversation. Because if you go back to Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. That's in direct relation to this. If I don't have a pure heart, I'm going to have clouded vision. God's telling me, have a pure heart. That's how you'll see me. And then it says right in here, the eye of the lamp is the body, so if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. I'll be able to see, right? If I have money and or possessions, and I don't have a pure heart, newsflash, you're not going to do any good for me. If it's just for me, for myself, so remember we covered the approval in the first part of Matthew chapter 6? Whose approval are we seeking? If this money and these things and the houses and the vehicles I have, the property I own, the farms I own, the whatever it is for somebody else's approval because it's not for me with a pure heart, sorry, it does no good. It's worthless. Does it make you feel good and have that security? Sure it does. But is that security the wrong motive? Whose security, and we'll look at that, whose security should we seek? We should seek after that. That's the anxiety part of things that we're going to get into. We should seek after. I have anxiety if I don't have my stash that I can't go readily available steal from when I need to, my backup plan. Well, that's me putting trust in the things of the world and trust in myself to accumulate the things in the world. That's not me trusting that Jesus is going to take care of me. So how will I see God when my heart is corrupted with my possessions? If I have cloudy vision and I don't see things with a pure heart, how will I be able to see what God needs me to do? We have two choices. So when it says, if the eye is the lamp of the body, so then if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. We have a contrast. Just like what we've kind of covered. Right? We either let the light shine in through our eyes, or we let the darkness stay. That's the thing. If our eyes are clouded, that light won't come in. It's not like we get to trap that light in us in our lives. Jesus is saying here, you're not going to let that come in. It's not that we're going to trap the light in us. It's we're not going to let it come in, so we're staying in darkness. If I cannot see the things the way Jesus intended and needs me to see things, my intentions will fall short of his standards. You say, how? That's all of what we've covered in Matthew chapter 5 and the first part of 6. You have heard, do it this way. But I say, do it this way. You have heard it gets done this way. But I say, this is my standards. It's simple. Jesus gives us the instructions on what we do, what we need to do. Unless your spiritual perspective is directed by God, we're going to be lost and wandering in the dark. Because that light cannot shine in us. So if that light cannot shine in us, I'm walking in the darkness. I'm not going to be able to see it. So our perspective has to be clear. Our motives have to be clear. And very few things in this world can skew our vision like money and possessions can. You think of what do you stumble on? Be real. What are the things that you fight? What are the struggles that you have? If you're honest with yourself, 9 times out of 10 it's something financially related. I need this. I work so hard because I have to have this so I can cross this off the list. Well, then once I cross that off the list, this is on the list. So I got to do this. And that's all I work for this, do this, do this. It skews our vision, is what it does. And that's what Jesus is saying, to look out for. And sometimes you look at Faisal in Pakistan. Those people have nothing. They have absolutely nothing over there. and they can see God clearer than the majority of the United States. Why is that? Because they don't have the distractions. See, we are distracted from the things that God wants us to be doing because we're so involved with trying to build our own American dream. And if it wasn't going to be a problem, Jesus wouldn't have said it. That's why he's saying, don't, newsflash, I know what this is going to do for you. I know this is the burden that it's going to be. And he's given us a way out. He's telling us, don't store up that stuff. It's going to be meaningless. Store up for yourself the treasures that are in heaven where moth and rust cannot destroy. It's not a possession. Here's the... I won't go there yet. So very few things in this world can skew our vision like money and possessions can. If the eye is the lamp of the body, we need to check and see if our light bulb needs changed. Think of it that way. I got that light bulb. I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Here's a silly analogy. I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Boom, I get a light bulb put in. I can now see because of the Holy Spirit, because that's what we get. We're baptized with the gift of the Holy Spirit when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. I immediately have a light bulb in my sockets. Okay? How many times is either that light on a dimmer switch or it just point blank burns out? If it burns out, does that mean I lose my salvation? No. It just means that I need to confess my sins. I need to repent. And I need to replace that light bulb, or I need to turn that switch back on. One of the two. It's my choice. I have the light bulb sitting there. It's my choice to take it out, or it's my choice to turn that switch up and down. We have that free gift. So if our light bulb needs to be changed, it will affect us because our spiritual vision is our capacity to see clearly what God wants us to be doing. If I'm full of darkness, I will walk in darkness, meaning that I won't do anything that glorifies God. God cannot be dark. God is light. We have a problem. So if I'm full of darkness, I'm going out doing things that are no benefit for Him. There are no benefit for me in my eternity. We covered rewards. There again, this is a building off of each other. We covered rewards. If I walk in darkness my entire life, will I have any of the crowns that He promises me? So when I get to sit there, will I have anything that I get to lay at my Savior's feet when I meet Him in eternity? He'll say, hey, I'm glad you're here. No doubt. I am 100% glad that you are here. We're still here. In eternity. But if I'm walking in darkness all my life, not doing anything for Him, not doing anything for His glory, to tell people about Him, to show people, to reflect Jesus to somebody, He'll say, hey, I'm glad you're here, but here's a crown this guy's got for me, and I don't, and I have to sit there and I have to watch that, and I have to put up with that in all eternity, that I didn't have anything to lay at my Savior's feet. Spiritual vision is our capacity to see clearly what God is, what God wants us to be doing, and how He wants us to see the world around us, which is from His perspective. Can I see the world from God's perspective if I'm walking in darkness? Would there be so many suicides in this world if people weren't walking around in the darkness, not looking out to try to help somebody? Would there be so many whatever, so many problems, so many psychiatrists? Would psychiatrists be so popular in the world? We could all be somebody's psychiatrist if we weren't walking in the darkness, if we could just reflect Jesus to somebody. You could have the title of a psychiatrist without going to school. But if we're walking in the darkness and I can't see somebody like God needs me to see somebody, I'm just going to walk right by them, not helping when they're sitting there sinking, waving out for somebody. I'm drowning. Throw me that life raft. Throw me that safety tube. I'm drowning. Somebody give it to me. But I'm too busy storing up for myself my treasures which are here on this earth for somebody else's approval, which that approval might be my own. I want to do it because I feel good about it. I don't care about what anybody thinks. I want to do it for me. Still wrong motive. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. For keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. At the end of the day, really, what good does money do? It gives us comfort. That's about it. Whatever it relays to, at the end of the day, money gives us comfort. We can buy comfort, is what you're doing. Does Jesus need us to be comfortable? Not all the time. Some of us have experienced that, others to different degrees. If I'm comfortable all the time, do I know what it's like if Jesus would leave me? I would never notice it, right? Jesus says he's never going to leave me, but sometimes our comfort gives us so much comfort that we don't get to experience Jesus working in our life because we're content with everything else we're doing for ourselves. So I can't experience Jesus working in my life. It's blinded. But if I'm uncomfortable and I can't do things on my own, I can't buy my comfort, I can't buy the things that get me by, I can't have it, like whatever it may be, it then opens the door clearly to have me to be able to accept that Jesus is the one that's working with me, to rely on Jesus. Because money will allow us to rely on money. That's why God says you're not going to serve two masters. Because if you rely on money, you're going to rely on money. You're not going to rely on me because I'm going to be standing in the background. I'm still here. I didn't leave you. But you just kicked me away out the door. I'm standing there waiting for you because you're too busy focusing on all this other stuff to rely on it because it's that stuff that gets you by. Well, how will we live for God and how will we be able to shine that to other people if we're not relying on Jesus? We can only pay people so much money. We can only do so many things. And a lot of times it's still empty. And if we're honest with ourselves, a lot of times what we do for people is empty. But then when we do things with the compassion and the true heart, or the pure heart and a true motive, and we do something for Jesus for that person, it's a whole different feeling. It's a whole different thing. Because we know it's not my power I did it or said it or give it or did whatever. It was because I relied on Jesus to provide it. And that's what we get ahead of ourselves. That's the blessing that we can be. There's the verse Philippians 4:19. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Our generosity can lead to God providing for somebody else. You ever thought of that? And my God will supply every need of yours. Maybe that supplying that God is doing is coming from somebody else blessing you. Maybe it's you blessing somebody else. Your generosity allows somebody else to see Jesus. And it's not, 9 times out of 10, it probably ain't going to be money. I hate to say it. It's probably going to be your time. That's what we fight with, is time. Money is whatever, at the end of the day. But our time, we have to do stuff valuable with our time. Because we want to gain, time is the essence of it all. I go to work, I spend my time going to earn money. My time is valuable because I know I can get something with my time. What will your time be for somebody else? If you set that aside, how much value can your time bring to somebody else? See, we're the business, we've covered it. They're in the Beatitudes. Our business of Christians is people. And business takes time. It takes time to be able to encourage people. It takes time and resources to help people. But it's setting ourselves aside to be able to do that. So our generosity can lead to God providing for somebody else. God wants others to receive from us because if we do things with a pure heart and a right motive, not seeking others' approvals, essentially God wins twice. Okay? He can be glorified twice. It brings better glory to God because the person on the receiving end is blessed by the one with a pure heart and a pure motive in giving. And then when the person that receives that blessing turns around and sees that it wasn't done out of some selfish thing or some evil gain or whatever, Jesus is reflected in that person. So that person can see, that was the work of Jesus helping me. That wasn't for that person. So in that situation, God won twice. The person's blessed. And then the person that give reflected Jesus. Second Corinthians 8:9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, by his poverty, might become rich. Jesus emptied himself and took on the form of humanity. We've covered that. That's back in Philippians chapter 2, verse 7. That Jesus became a man. He set aside his deity and he became a man. He left all the riches of heaven. Think about it. The Bible tells us what heaven is. Parts and glimpse of it. Do you know that Jesus Christ left all of that? For you? For me? For all of humankind? He set that aside and invested his time in something far more valuable. Look at the value that people have. And we know that because we've all hurt somebody. And you can't be hurt unless you're hurt by somebody that thought you were valuable. People have value. We as Christians need to bring that value and show that value to people. That is what reflecting Jesus is like. Reflecting Jesus is showing people that they're valuable and that somebody loves for them. Somebody will not leave them or forsake you. There's only so much I can do. There's only so many things I can do for you. There's only so much money I can give you to help you to do whatever. But at the end of the day, we need to show them that it's not me anyway, that it's Jesus. He's the one saying, I'm never going to leave you or forsake you. Who am I investing my riches into? We can all think of somebody that needs help. And like I said, 9 times out of 10 it ain't going to be financially. Did Jesus leave heaven to come give us a bunch of money? Did he come from heaven down here to us to fill our bank accounts? Or did he leave heaven to be invested in you? Did he get nailed on that cross to be invested in you? That's what we need to reflect. That's what he wants us to do. That's what he's saying. Don't store up your treasures. Your treasures are in heaven, because if you do that, if you invest in these people, if you invest in these relationships, if you invest in spreading the good news of who I am to somebody in need, that will bring eternity, bring treasures into eternity. If you do it with the right motive and a right reward or a heart, we talked, that'll give you reward, but guess what? That also brings that treasure of that person that you maybe just explained to who Jesus was. Maybe it was somebody who had no idea who Jesus was, and by you sharing your treasure, making that person valuable, taking the time to talk to that person, you invested in them, and they get to spend eternity in heaven because of the treasure that you invested in them. How cool is that? So how will I have anything to share or give if I don't work for anything? This just goes back to God knows and designed us to have to work for money. Because money buys, there's two things that money does. It buys food, clothes, shelters, and others' needs. But faith, this is going to get into the next week, brings us rest from the anxiety and the worry about not having those things. Security can be money or whatever you want to classify as security, your security blanket. Whether it be your safe full of guns and ammo, whether it be a bank account, whether it be vehicles, whether it be whatever, whatever your security, your comfort zone is, it gives us a great opportunity to trust and grow in our relationship with Jesus. If we don't have those things, if we are without those, it gives us an opportunity to truly trust that Jesus will not leave me and forsake me like he says he does. But if I have all that stuff and I put my trust in that and my faith and my hope in that stuff, it doesn't allow me to be real with Jesus. Because he's kind of just I really kind of believe that you say you're going to take care of me, but I got all this stuff over here that I'll rely on this stuff first. And maybe once that stuff's exposed, gone, I don't have any of it left, then I know I've got you. No. That's backwards. We focus on Him first. When the need arises, if we have money, say, okay, what are we doing with it? When the need arises, we have something available to help out. Maybe think of our finances differently. Do I have that? Did God bless me with money sitting in my savings account? Did God bless me with these extra vehicles? Did God bless me with whatever you fill it in? Maybe the time. Maybe I have now time. God blessed me all my life and I'm retired or going into retirement or whatever. Now I have this time. What am I going to do with that time? What am I going to do with that stuff God gave me? Who am I going to invest that into? When we help out, so you look at money, we work for money, right? We work hard for it. We have our own blood, sweat, and tears, whatever. Doesn't it mean more? If I gave you a $100 bill and you didn't have to work for it, was it easier for you to give that $100 bill away rather than your own money that you had your own blood, sweat, and tears in? It's harder to give the money away that you worked for, that you tried to do. And by doing that, by knowing when I have money and it might be the last $100 that I have that I worked my butt off for, and I'm coming into the end of the month and I have nothing, but God gave me this person in front of me that needed $100. Is it harder for me to give that up to that person when it's the last one that I have and the last one that I worked for? But what an awesome opportunity to know that it's real when I can give it to him, knowing that Jesus says, hey, I won't leave you, forsake you. I won't. I'm just going to talk about it. I take care of the birds of the air. What do you have to worry about? It gives us an opportunity to trust him. Look at your finances that way, that it allows you an opportunity to be able to trust Jesus by giving your money up, by giving your time up, by letting somebody use your vehicle that you don't want to use your vehicle if they're in need of a vehicle, whatever it is. It allows you to trust in Jesus. What God wants us to be is a good steward of the things we have. Look at yourself as not the owner. We all pay property taxes anyway. We really don't even own our property. We pay taxes on our vehicles. We register them. We don't truly own anything anyway. God has set us as the manager in charge of the possessions that we have. Maybe we need to rethink things as just being the one in control. God, just give me these things to manage and do properly. God gave me a home in the United States of America where I'm free. How will I use it? How will I manage it? There's a story in the Bible, a parable that we'll get into, that talks about the things that you do, the talents that God gave you. God gave everybody the same amount of talents, and he left and he came back and he asked, what did you do with it? And these people invested it different ways and grew what God gave them. Are you growing? Are you investing in that gift of that blessing that God gave you? Or do we just bury it in the sand and not worry about it and just hold on to it? At least I still got it. Yeah, at least I still got my whatever, if you want to call it. You use the example of, at least I have my eternity, my salvation, I know where I'm going. I still got it. I'm not going to get it taken away from me. But am I going to use that to invest it in somebody else? Am I going to invest that comfort that I have in somebody else? So God has set us as the manager in charge of the possessions we have. We need to thank him for them. We need to use them to advance his kingdom. We need to use them to bring glory to him and use them to bless others. Verse 21 and 24, they can join. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. We don't claim ownership over our possessions because then it will become a focus. When it's mine, it's my thing, this is how I do it, this is whatever, it becomes our focus. That's why it's easier to look back and say, they're not my things anyway, God, you just made me the manager over those things. Because that's not my focus. My focus then is pleasing the one who's employing me as the manager. To make sure that I do a good job for him with the things that he gave me. We covered in the first part of chapter 6, whose approval are we seeking? Do I take something God intended me to use as a tool and make it my priority? God gave us money to use as a tool. Not a priority. That's the big difference. Use it, just as He's given us everything in our life that we look back after and at and say, God, what do you got me in this situation for? Well, here, I blessed you with this because you're now in this situation and you now have this to be able to utilize in that situation. We don't know, but we got to be able to look at it as a tool. We all have addicted personalities. I know I do. My addictions are probably different than yours. Your addictions are different than somebody else's. But we all have addictive personalities. Whether it be to something that is bad or something actually that could be good. We still have addicted personalities to things, right? We need to be addicted to Jesus and the things that please God. What are those? That's all the contrast we just had in Matthew chapter 5 to where we're at today. He gives us those contrasts. Those things, what we need to be able to do, what things look like that we need to seek after. What are the things that pleases God? He tells us everything. It's right here. Do you know what they are? If you know what they are, be addicted to them. Be an addict of Jesus. Be so addicted to Him that you can't function without Him. When I'm addicted to something, I can't let it go. It rules my mind. It's all I can focus on. It's all I need. It's all I want. It's all I think about. It's what I dream about. Use that addiction to be addicted to Jesus. Focus on Him. Think about Him. Because if we walk in that mindset, that is then where the light will shine. That is the light then that will overcome that darkness that's within us. Because if I'm addicted with it, it's going to rule me and it's going to come forth. Because does things not come out? And are your addictions not shown? If my addiction is having a nice yard, you're going to drive my house and you're going to see a nice yard all the time. If my addiction is a clean vehicle, my vehicle is going to be clean all the time. People are going to see that. It's going to come out. I'm going to work it out. What if I'm addicted to Jesus and what if that's all that comes out of me? If I'm addicted to Him, He will become the treasure of my heart. What am I going to do? Question, and we'll close. Can moss or rust destroy people like they can belongings?